Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, here we go. We are live. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. We are now sharing this live feed around. So if you're in a live feed, start a watch party with your friends. Share it around. Make sure folks are getting this show out. Very important show here, folks. The another side of the illegal immigration crisis that nobody's really talking about. But you're hearing it here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show because we're trying to cover it all. We're trying to get all the angles of all the crises and things like that that are occurring. Hello, Mandy. Hello, Jimmy, Alex, everybody there in the live feed. Gary, Binford, Nation Savers 2018. Check it out today, folks. Terry, William, Christina, Chuck, another William, and Denise and others in the live feed, please share. I'm sharing right now, doing a little share here and share alike. Check it out and see if this works. Seems to be delaying lately, so I don't know. We'll see. As I share this around, I want to say hello to everybody and thanks again for tuning in. It's always my pleasure to host these great shows and try to bring awareness to more issues than just issues that you hear about too sometimes, you know. And I think this is a very important aspect of the illegal immigrant crime wave that is occurring across our country. And I'm hoping to get these things to play. Let's do the top of the hour break. And what usually happens is that plays and then I don't know. But here we go. Amnesty response plan. Here you go. Check it out. Here's our live feed. Again, I want to say hello to everybody in the live feed and everybody out on Patriot Nation Radio Network, on the Blog Talk Radio Network, for tuning in tonight. Don't forget we have James Bostic and the Conservative's Perspective two nights a week here, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. You can hear that show at www.blogtalk.com.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio. 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only, and then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that, and that's what the song is about. Basically, it's about an officer who's gone down in the line of duty, and he's given his all, and when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA. right now on Facebook. That's DaveDrayUSA.
DaveBrayUSA.com. He forgot to, he left that part off. He comes on the show. He's a friend of ours. We had his last record. To me, I was playing his songs, I don't know, a year before they were ever actually put onto a record. I had them on my soundboard. I was playing his versions of the songs. Of course, they remixed them a little bit, did a little studio twerking when they put it on the actual album. But Dave's great. And you can check him out, DaveBrayUSA.com. And, of course, LibertyRush.com. And I don't want to forget my friend Paul at PatriotShit.com. And I want to always shout out again to Operation First Response, folks. Check them out. They're a great organization. Head on over to their site. Search them out. Make a donation. They're doing great things. And also K9 Partners for Patriots. They're also doing great things for our veterans with PTSD and hooking them up with rescue dogs turned service dogs. Great, great organizations. I try to honor my veterans in my father's name. You'll see that probably from now on behind me until we actually make a nice memorial here, maybe on my fireplace mantle with the flag and the photograph. But for now, it's behind me because I'm proud of my father and all he accomplished in his life and the man he made me, the patriotism and the patriotic spirit he instilled in me. Hallelujah. I know I've been talking about it a lot, but I'm really proud, and he's no longer suffering, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to be talking tonight about another side of the border crisis that nobody's talking about. As many of you folks who watch and listen to my show know, we say the statistics all the time. 90% of the fentanyl and heroin in this country comes across the southern border. Yeah, people go, well, Snopes says it's not true. Snopes. I love Snopes. You know, that silly guy in the basement using Google. You know that guy? Snopes, they said it's true. They said it's false. And people go with it, you know. 90% of that fentanyl is coming across the southern border. There's huge illegal immigrant crisis. It's not just at the border, people crossing. Okay, yes, that's a big part of it. You know, I think only 40% of the illegal aliens come across the border. The rest of them fly here on planes. So, I mean, you can put up a wall. It's going to stop the fentanyl and the drugs. Hey, Mark Neal's in the live feed. What's happening? So you stop these fentanyl and heroin coming across the border, at least make a huge dent. When we're losing 300 kids a month, well, 300 people a month. Yeah, well, you know, no one's forcing them to take it. Right. But a lot of these folks that are turning into heroin junkies today start out in their parents' medicine cabinet, eating their pain pills. After they don't like eating them no more, they start sniffing them. And when they don't like sniffing them no more, they melt them down and they shoot them. Next thing you know, you got a junkie. It's not intentionally. They don't start out that way. They're hanging out every day. Hey, my parents got some shit in the medicine chest. Ooh, that was fun. Let's do it again next week. You know what I'm saying? And it's that innocence that starts out that easy. Next thing you know, bam, you know. So a part of this crisis is 300 American citizens a month are dying, or a week. It's astronomical. How many are dying from the drugs that are coming across the border? And they're making angel families with every death. It's not just kids getting murdered by illegal immigrants with multiple deportations. It's little towns far away from the border that are being overrun by MS-13 gangs. who are corrupting the police and the judges and the courts and the commissioners and the people in these small towns. You think it's only in the border towns? Well, you are sadly mistaken. Because on tonight's show, we're going to be speaking with Steve and Wendy. They are angel parents. Now, folks, we talked about angel parents on many shows. And they are folks whose children have been taken by illegal immigrant crime, not necessarily murder. I want you to welcome to the show tonight our featured guests, Steve and Wendy. What's happening? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's just Wendy right now.
Okay. Hello, Wendy. So then is that a pretty accurate description that this is crisis is creating angel families in another way, not by murder or whatever the case may be at the hands of illegal aliens, but at the drugs they smuggle, turning hundreds and hundreds of families into angel families every week. Every day. Is that a fair statement?
I definitely think that there are many people, many grandparents raising their grandchildren now. That's our case now. You know, there are children without parents. We're burying husbands, wives. You know, it doesn't really pick, you know, a color or wealth or not. It just, it's destroying a lot here.
And it's very deep rooted and very deep seated in this country right now as the border leaks unbelievable amounts. Now, there is a report out that illegal alien apprehensions at the border are down 30% since Mexico started helping out and putting the asylum seekers on in the Mexican border. So it's Trump's policies are starting to work. But before we move any further into the policies and all of that, fill the listeners in a little bit on your story, what happened, why we're coming on the show tonight, and then we'll roll with it from there.
Right. That's the main thing that I wanted to share.
Right. And so what's happening in this case? Have you been able to try to get some answers of where this drug came from, who's selling it, or any of that?
Her death is still under investigation, and the Patrick County Sheriff's Department and the Virginia State Police have been handling that. So they have indicted one individual concerning her death. His name is Brian Green, here in Arap, Virginia. But we know that there is a great deal of cartel activity in our area that is connected to, missing people. We have numerous missing individuals here. My daughter, my personal story is that my daughter, Jessica, she passed away last August 23rd, and her direct cause of death was fentanyl and methamphetamine toxicity. Since then, I've learned a lot of things I didn't know before. How drugs move and how the crime operates, even in small towns, especially in small towns, I think, because this is Mayberry. This is like the town that Andy Griffith's show is, you know, based on, because Andy lives here. They want it to seem like it's Mayberry, but it's not really Mayberry anymore.
Right. It's Mayberry on the book cover, but on the inside of the book, it's being overrun by these cartel. Is it MS-13 gang members that are taking a hold there?
I think it's not just them. I mean, I think that there are numerous, just from, you know, what people talk about. There are numerous gangs that are even working together. And there's just this area. We have right now, we have my daughter, Jessica Stanley. I cannot bring her back. I lost her primarily to the drug fentanyl, which, you know, it can be, yes, it can be pressed into pills and smuggled in. But we have a great, the cartel is our primary distributor in this area.
And of course, they're directly tied to the Mexican border.
Well, and to businesses, and to, that's the thing about it is, you know, there's a hierarchy, really, that it's like a business. And
right.
that's the difficult thing about.
Is logistics and packaging and transport and point of sale and transactions and everything across the country as it makes its way to small town North Carolina. Folks, this is not happening in the border towns. It's now happening in small town America. Mayberry. You heard it. Mayberry. The cartel members have branched out across our country to small town America. And it's easy in small town America because they can push the people over there. A lot of times in small town America, it's a couple of families that have some cornfields and maybe some sunflowers, a few cows. It's a small town. You bring in some gang thugs, guys with teardrops already tattooed on their face signifying how many kills, moving in, smuggling drugs, smuggling people in Mayberry. It's shocking. And the Democrats are for this. The Democrats are like, we need open borders. And these MS-13 gang members, you know, baby smuggling drug traffickers need to have health care while our veterans sit on the sidewalk freezing in Idaho in January. It's freaking unbelievable. If it doesn't anger you, folks, you're crazy. You might as well be this flag-stomping soccer player for the United States female soccer team. Did you see that? That her and a friend were, like, getting ready to stomp on the flag, and then their teammate comes up and grabs the flag like a hero. Can you believe this is happening in our country, Wendy, that our representatives at the Women's World Cup would be trying to stomp on the flag after they had won the World Cup?
I didn't see that, no. And
yeah, this is what happened.
Live on television.
Millions of people representing you and me in the World Cup. Meanwhile, we have kids in this country dying in this country, and they're going to disrespect the flag like when the real focus should be on the families like you and other angel families who are losing their children to illegal alien crime that is rampant. Now, you were going to say something? I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Wendy. I was on a roll.
That's okay. I'm not really sure what I was going to say. I was just going to say that, you know, my primary focus is, you know, seeing that people understand that, you know, that our communities are infiltrated by people that are, some are, you know, hard to detect. Some are, I don't know, some are illegal aliens and some aren't. It's, that's the thing is, I think it actually works together. So
do you believe that some of these law enforcement officials in your area are tied with some of these cartel guys, and they give and the judges are giving lenient sentences to some of these people so they can get out and run, keep running their business?
I can't, you know, I can't speak directly, and I'm not going to speak directly
right.
to names.
Allegedly.
Say
allegedly.
Well, yes, I do. And I think that because we have
you
one.
You can have an opinion. This is America.
Well, we have one missing individual here, Michael Martin. He had been missing. The police here in Surrey County would never even open a missing persons report on him. You know, it seems like it takes a lot when something happens here for anything to be done about it. And we've had so many overdoses, so many questionable deaths, so many missing persons. And, you know, a lot of talk about sex trafficking. I know that my daughter had told me, you know, she wrote me a lot of letters and told me some of the things that were going on, you know, in small town America. And,
right.
You know, it is scary.
I can
it's
imagine.
Scary to people that people don't, you know, really realize that's reality, but it is.
When you're in big town America, it blends in and it hides. When you're in small town America, it's hard for them to hide. It's hard for them to be in the cracks and the seams and the shadows. They're out there. Go to New York City, you can walk down Broadway to Fifth Avenue and go round and round the blocks and go all over the place, and you'll never see a thing, but it's all around. So you go to Michigan,
right. mm-hmm.
they can't hide it. It's small town America. Everybody knows everybody. All of a sudden, there's a bunch of guys on the corner by the Home Depot. What's going on over there? You know? I don't know how it is
yeah,
by you, but that's how I was. You all stand on a corner and wait for somebody to get a job.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more deep-rooted here than that. I really am hoping that we can get some attention brought to the situation here. That was my hope. Was that you could help us to do that. We need honest citizens, regardless of, I'm going to say, if I may, regardless of politics, if anyone knows anything about what the missing individuals, we really, you know, we need people to step up and do the right thing. And we want to hold our elected officials and law enforcement to a higher standard.
Constitutional standard. If we hold our law enforcement officials to the oath to the Constitution that they swear to uphold, then they would be honorable police, and none of this would be happening in this country. They wouldn't be bought, they wouldn't be took, they wouldn't be sold. They would be straightforward. Law enforcement, constitutional sheriffs. That's what we need in this country. Constitutional sheriffs. Call your sheriff and ask, are you a constitutional sheriff? And find out.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm sure Mom would say he is.
they're all going to say they are. Well, we swear an oath to it. All right, well, this guy's civil rights are being violated right now over here. You're violating all his rights. He's been in, because they all do it. They hold you for excessive amounts of time in between court dates and court appearances. They give you excessive bail. They give you no time to prepare for your own defense. If you, you know, even if you did something wrong, you still have the right until you're convicted to have all these things at your disposal. To be able to get out, be able to prepare your case, get a defense. But they don't do that. That alone, even if the people are guilty, they still have that right before they are found guilty. We have a constitution for a reason.
We don't seem to keep a lot of them in jail here in Missouri County, to be honest.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
We don't
seem
to have
maybe
that problem quite as much.
They get the lenient sentences for the cartel members. What about, like, the local citizen gets busted with a dime bag,
yes,
probably gets 10 years?
No. It's, for example, my daughter, you know, she had a history of drug use, and she had missed a couple of court dates, and she was in trouble for, I think she had, to be honest, I think she had shoplifted cough syrup or something from the dollar store, and she missed two court dates. So those two court dates made it so her bond was a cash bond. And so she had a $3,000 cash bond. So, I don't know, that's another issue, but, there are people that get really high bonds, and then it just surprises me sometimes that at the low bonds.
Right. So someone who shoplifted some cough syrup at the dollar store gets a super high bond, but a guy who trafficked three girls into a prostitution ring gets out on a low bond. Hence the payoff from the corruption.
The guy that she was arrested with had a $600,000 unsecured bond and was out the next morning. Now, Jessica, my daughter, she had missed a couple court dates, so it did make her bond, I think, secure because she'd missed the court dates. But it's just, I don't know, a lot of irony, I think, that I see. And I would really like to have people that, like you were saying, constitutional, just, you know, be fair all the way around, not get involved in crime.
Right. Follow the law as a constitutional sheriff would. If it violates the Bill of Rights that are protected by the Constitution, they're God-given rights. Nobody's supposed to be able to touch them at all, except for God. They're God-given rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The right to defend yourself. The right to say what the hell you feel if someone's not doing you right. You know,
right.
The right to not be illegally searched for no reason because you were driving down the road and the cops suspect maybe possibly you might have something in the car. That's not grounds to search around all your stuff. I mean, if you have nothing to hide, who cares? You know, but it's still not
right.
Even if you have nothing, it's a violation of your life.
It is.
You're securing
it.
And they're rating people on a breakneck pace. And if you give them some flack, all of a sudden, they find a bag of drugs in the back seat. Oh, where'd this come from? Now you're screwed.
Well, yeah, I can't say that I wish that I could honestly say that I have direct knowledge, because I would do whatever. If I could fix the situation here just by being honest, I would do it. I would be the one. People, I don't know if they're afraid of the truth, afraid to tell the truth, afraid of hearing the truth. I'm not sure.
I'll tell you, Wendy, when you've been fed a lie, the same lie for 50 years, when you hear the truth, you go, there's no way that's true. There's no way. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, well, we're just now realizing the degree of it. And, and obviously the drugs and the, human trafficking. And, I mean, the things that are happening here now, I hope that we have people that are, I hope that people are seeking answers. I hope that the officials are doing every single thing they can. I just know that we have two individuals, Michael Martin and Sarah Hill, who Michael will be missing a year in August. Sarah was missing a year in June. My daughter died August 23rd. I'm sorry.
Do you have websites or pages or groups or something that people can show support?
We have a website called Missing in Mayberry that you can look up the Facebook page for that. And we try to, you know, keep up with locally and somewhat regionally. The girl that runs that page is wonderful and truly cares. I mean, we all truly care about, and we want everyone else to care as much as we do, because we want to find these missing individuals. We don't want it to be politically incorrect or go ahead, I'm sorry.
Has there been like an increase over the say last 5 or 8 years or something in the amount of missing people in Mayberry?
I'm going to answer that because I don't have the hard data in front of me. I mean, I could probably get it and follow up with you, but I would say because we're all more aware of it, I know that there have been overdoses, obviously, for a number of years now. We got hit with the opioid that started in late 90s, I think. It got worse in the early 2000s, you know, when OxyContin was being overly prescribed.
Right.
But, you know, and then when the doctors, you know, weren't writing quite as much, that's when the heroin supply moved in. And we do have a documented article. Sheriff Dan Smith of Patrick County, Virginia, did comment in an article that because they had a bust up there that involved cartel members. And he did state, go ahead, if I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying, yes, I was agreeing. Right. Yep.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He said, yes, but he did, and it is documented, so I'm not, you know, speaking out of turn, that our area is, the drug supply is primarily controlled by the Mexican cartel. That's heroin, fentanyl, methamphetamine.
Right.
And, you know, our highway system is heavily used. And our area is just, it's a hot spot. I wish someone would do like an expose or documentary or something, because it's really kind of crazy, to be honest.
It's almost to the fact that it's unbelievable. Remember, small town America. This is not in the middle of Chicago. It's not down in New Mexico somewhere, or in the deserts of Arizona, or on the Rio Grande in Texas. This is in Mayberry. This is in North Carolina. A little tiny town. Itty bitty. Overrun by cartel members and drugs.
And also, I would like to say that one of the hardest things about it, I believe, is that I don't think our problem here is only cartel. There's so many people in the community that we probably aren't even aware of that. You know, maintaining
there's
like a business, a layer of what's the word I'm looking for? It's legitimacy to provide them the ability to operate almost legitimately.
Affront. Like, come down to Susie's Bakery and get yourself a wedding cake and 2 ounces of methamphetamine to have at the party.
Not exactly. Not exactly. And if I may say so, because you've made me laugh, my political beliefs and your political beliefs, you know what? Aside from that, we've got to save our country. Whatever, you know, if there's got to be a way somehow that we can reach just neighbors. Going back to, we were talking about how we don't have, it probably seems trivial now, but Neighborhood Watch when we were young.
Yeah.
You know, you always saw Neighborhood Watch.
George
I watch my neighborhood, and it's crazy, the things that I see.
Yep.
Just
people are afraid to watch the neighborhood now because they can't be armed. They're out there in their little car with a walkie-talkie. And here comes MS-13 fully armed. They're like a mini militia walking down the street. And here's Grandpa from the community watch. That's what happened. It's not that they don't want to be there. They can't be there, you know, unless they have, like, armed veterans. Then all of a sudden you have, like, gun battles in the street. It could be bad. It could be good. I think community watch is good if you have a good, solid group. But, I mean, if you have, like, a bunch of retired people in West Palm Beach, Florida, or something, it's going to be kind of tough.
The people here are strong. They are. I believe in the people here. I just think they need to remember who they are.
They're people are afraid of political correctness. They don't want to offend nobody, so they'll hide in their little shelter home, and they'll wait, you know, until one day there'll
be
no protection.
Yeah.
Right. They're staying obscure, staying out of it. Silence is just as bad as being overly radical. You got to have a medium somewhere. And you know, silence is almost is as bad as being overly radical. If you say nothing and you hide in the shadows and do nothing, you're just as guilty as those who are trying to bring it down on purpose. The only way evil succeeds is when good men do nothing.
Well, my daughter, I'm really grateful that she had been in jail for what I was telling you about. She spent 80 days in jail for the not showing up for court, which was, I mean, there are some things that, you know, addiction here, it's terrible. You can't make an addict want to get better. There are some things that just go along with active addiction, and it breaks my heart. You know, but my daughter spent that 80 days in jail, and she came out, I think she only would have done 24 if for what she was charged with. But anyways, she came out, and my hope was that she wouldn't, you know, turn back to the people that she had gotten involved with. But she wrote me a lot of letters, and she, during the time when she was in jail, she was sober, and she had a lot of time to talk to me about things that had happened around here, and, you know, about, you know, women disappearing. And
is there pertinent information in the letters that should be shared with, like, law enforcement officials?
Oh, they have them all. Yeah, they're part of, they have everything. They have her journals. My daughter was a, for me to just say, you know, speak of her, about her addiction, it's me, I've had to harden myself somewhat because I lost my daughter, you know, and I try to be
fair. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. You know, thank you. It's been a hard, it's been a learning year. But I want to make my loss of my daughter. She left 4 children that, you know, we're raising our children as much as she was my daughter. And, you know, I want something to be done. I want America to care again. And
make America care again.
Yeah, and I just don't want I don't want people to keep losing their loved ones like this, and this crime that is, our children are the victims of it, actually. You know, it's not people in cartel that are the ones dying and overdosing. It's our kids.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I bet if you ran for president and your slogan was Make America Care Again, the media and the left would run you off.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if anybody would. I feel like, honestly, right now, I'm feeling like I just want anyone who will listen to listen. And I am so grateful, you know, that you gave me the opportunity just to tell a little bit about my daughter, my loss, and how it fits into what's going on just in our community.
Right. I couldn't imagine the pain and anguish of losing my son. I can't say that I know what you're going through because I have no idea. And I just ask that the Lord blesses you and your family and helps you turn negative into a positive in some way in order to help change this hard thing that's happening. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? That's all I can ask.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, when I say prayers, I don't pray for, like, dear God, Black Friday's coming, and I really want that TV. I would never pray for that. That's not what you pray for, folks. Healing and peace, you know, calm and strength. These are things that you pray for, at least for me. You might want to pray for the TV, but I don't think you're going to get it. Not through prayer. Amen.
I ask for truth.
Yes, comfort. I ask for comfort for those who are feeling pain, those who are feeling loss. That's one of the things I always pray for. And healing, whether it be a heartache or a heart attack, healing. You know, it's something that we all need. Everybody's going through something. Even if it's something minor, they're going through it, and they need healing. Healing of the heart, mind, soul, body. Pray for love, you know, and unity. It's like we're so divided in this country. We can't even agree who's the best quarterback in football. We argue about it for hours.
Yeah, some divisions are fun, I think. But, you know, we are definitely divided in a way that is it's definitely counterproductive. So sometimes I wonder, even if we're not just, we're so caught up in what's happening that we've ignored what's actually been going on,
yes.
If that makes sense.
It seems to come up in every show. In fact, it came up on the last show, how it's like Rome was taken down from the inside while everybody was at the Colosseum watching the lions and the gladiators fight in the Colosseum.
Right, and Nero was playing his violin while it burned.
Bread and circus, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are. We're in the midst of bread and circus once again. We're all sitting on the couch watching the Super Bowl, eating bonbons, watching, you know, The Notebook or something, you know. Here we are, just paying attention to nothing. The whole outside world's going by, and we're sitting on the couch, tuned into, it's a Charlie Brown Christmas. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah.
They got us, man. The invention of the TV was the onslaught of all of this. Technology, I believe, is the downfall of society. We need to get rid of all of it and go back to, you know, candles and reading books by candlelight. You know, riding
the
horse and
buggy. Overcome. Yeah,
we can. We're America, and we can overcome. That's the great thing about this country, is the resiliency of the people. One day there's going to be a great awakening across this land, whether it be the coming of Jesus or just everybody going, holy crap, we've been lied to all this time. Oh, we really got to change how we're thinking and seeing things. Who knows? But something's got to change in this country. It's really just crazy. And it's scary, Wendy, to me to think, right? Because I don't know how old you are. I don't want you to tell. You never ask a lady how old she is or how much she weighs.
I don't mind. I'm 52.
I'm 51 years old. So, all right. We've been around a pretty long time. We've seen a lot of things. It's scary to see that this is happening in our generation. It's like our generation is doing this. The greatest generation liberated the Jews from concentration camps, and here we are letting Antifa bash old men with crowbars and telling the police in Seattle, in Portland. It's unbelievable. It's downright shocking where we've turned. And just and my generation, most of these people learn the same history I learned. The same classes I sat are the same people that are saying we should have, 30-week abortions to be legal. You know what I mean? It's nuts. They sat in the same schools as us and they're doing this. They learned the same lessons we learned. And they're doing this to our country, allowing this. Where do you turn? There's nowhere left to turn. So we got to turn to each other and fight this horrible thing, this fentanyl and heroin that's coming across the border. And we got organizations and cartels and groups mingling together in small town America, fronting on the citizens, moving drugs and humans across state lines. There's got to be it, that makes it federal once it goes across state lines, but the feds got their hands tied. We can only hope that the president can untie the hands of the federal law enforcement agencies so they can do their jobs and start protecting our children so that Wendy and Steve don't have to go through this. That Steve Ronnebeck and Laura Irish Wilkerson and Marianne Mendoza and the Michaels don't have to go through this stuff anymore. Hundreds and hundreds of our citizens are dying at the hands of fentanyl and heroin overdoses across this country every single damn day. And we have Wendy on the show to tell their story of their daughter that they lost, their precious child. And all they have left now is memories, and they're talking about people getting separated from their families at the border. It's temporary. You know? So if you have any websites and stuff, Wendy, you want to give out, maybe someone can get involved and get to know more information about people missing or this crime.
Well,
yeah.
The only
missing
one right
area.
Now, yes, that's the only thing that we are involved in right now. We have like a missing in Appalachia, but missing in Mayberry, we have some really active cases in our county and in the include a couple of bordering counties. We also, the AWARE Foundation is a good one for me to let you guys know about. AWARE is nationwide, and they really, really do a lot to help support, to, keep, just, I'll say this real quick. I can't imagine the families of the two people that I mentioned, Michael Martin and Sarah Hill. At least I was given the gift. I lost my daughter. She lost her life, but I had her body. And we could grieve. I could not imagine a parent not knowing. And
right.
I want people to try to imagine that, and I want people to care.
I care a lot.
The AWARE Foundation has really been big helping with that.
And they're offering support to the folks who are going through things like you guys are going through?
Well, what they do is, they did make our daughter's story aware. And we've had we've done several interviews on, like, with WXII. I think we did one maybe with WFMY. We try to keep what's going on in our area because I feel like we're so stifled here. I don't know if nobody's listening or if it's because we're small or because we're not supposed to be listened to. I mean, you know, I've considered every possible reason why there's not more attention paid to this.
Yeah, well, we did something tonight. Somebody's going to listen to this, and maybe it'll help. Maybe it'll open somebody else's eyes. Maybe they'll share it with a friend of theirs who's going through some of the same things before it's too late. And if this show can help one family, if this episode tonight helps one family, we did our job.
That's right, and I appreciate that very much. I love my daughter. I love my daughter, and I miss her. And just want to use the opportunity to try to get the truth out and help others. And thanks for helping me do that.
You're absolutely welcome. No problem. I want to thank our mutual friend, Alan Poindexter. He put us in touch together so that we can bring awareness to the story. I want to thank him. He come on the show a couple of times. He's running for different offices up there in the North Carolina area, trying to make a difference. He's a hardworking patriot, and he loves his country. Thanks again, Alan, for putting us together with Wendy and Steve to get this episode on the air. It's really important, folks. The illegal immigration crisis isn't just at the border any longer. Thank you, Wendy, so much for coming on. I appreciate your time tonight. May God bless you and your family, and your strength is inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you. Be blessed.
You too. Amen. Folks, that's Wendy Odom. Again, angel families aren't just those that have been killed by illegal immigration, illegal immigrants, actual people committing murder. It's also the drugs that are coming across that border. So you want to make sure you get in touch with We Build the Wall and donate. Seek out our friends Steve Ronnebeck, Marianne Mendoza, Bobby and Kion Michael. Search these folks out. WeBuildTheWall.com. Go there. WeBuildTheWall.us, maybe. I forget right now, but check them all out. You want to find We Build the Wall, donate. They had a wall-a-thon. It was pretty awesome. They raised a pretty decent amount of money. They have 10 walls on private property contract. They're going to build these walls, and they're going to stop this crap. Where they built the wall over Memorial Day weekend a few months ago, the illegal border crossing has dropped 99.9% because they have to hold that gate open during the day so that workers can do their job there at the water treatment plant. I'm sure somebody's sneaking across where the gate's open. But it's closed at night. It's locked. We built the wall. Check it out. The crisis is real. Hashtag the crisis is real. Hashtag build the wall. And I'm sure you all seen the 4th of July greatness. What pride in some of the things I got to watch. And of course, Epstein, ladies and gentlemen, here it goes. You ready? I wonder if Jeffrey Epstein was Juan Epstein's father. Or welcome back, Carter. Who knows? Maybe Juan Epstein is really Jeffrey Epstein in disguise. But this scumbag is finally going to get his just desserts. Trafficking young underage girls. And guess who is on his plane? The Lolita Express. Over 28 times. Slick Willie Bill Clinton. That's right. Chilling out. Now, folks are saying, well, you know, Trump had this great quote where, oh, you know, he hangs out with these girls and most of them are on the young side. And then when he found out that Jeffrey Epstein may be involved in abusing women, he tossed his ass out of Mar-a-Lago. You're not hearing that part in the news. Jeffrey Epstein booted from Trump's Mar-a-Lago once he was known, once Trump knew the truth for sure. Kicked him out. They're not talking about that. They're talking about his stupid little quote from 20 years, 17 years ago or something. You know? So, Jeffrey Epstein, going down the tubes. And he's going to bring many people with him. You're going to start seeing the fingers pointing. The only problem I have with that whole case, with the Jeffrey Epstein thing right now, is the lead prosecutor in the case is James Comey's daughter. Yes, you heard that right. James Comey's daughter is the lead prosecutor in the case for Jeffrey Epstein. And the lead judge in the three-judge panel unsealing and releasing the transcripts and records of the first trial has been found dead. That's all I've heard. But his age was 96. He was still working on the bench, 96 years old. So natural causes could be in order here. But it's easy to get, you know, a guy 96 years old, go into his room and sneak up behind him. Boom! And bam, he has a heart attack. Natural causes. Hey, I found this guy. You know, he's the judge. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. I'm showing my age. That was from the Flip Wilson show a long, long time ago. Anyway, folks, I got to wrap this up. This is Patriot Nation Radio Network, and I am Mark Hoffman, host of the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in tonight. It was a real important episode. And I'm going to go ahead real fast and take a peek at my calendar. I got a couple of shows on the calendar coming up here. All righty. You may have seen, if you're in our area, our neck of the woods, there was a gentleman who, in honor of the troops here in the Sunshine State and across this world, him and his daughter painted a gigantic American flag on his lawn and dedicated to the veterans and all of those who served and was celebrating 4th of July and firing off fireworks and having fun. He painted his gigantic flag. It made the news. They flew over. They took pictures of it. I got the picture. We're going to have him on this Thursday. And then next week, some of our friends down in Arizona who are fighting this border crisis are getting sued by the Southern Poverty Law Center for the work that they're doing, chasing the buses around and filming the crimes of the Department of Homeland Security as they bus illegal aliens across the border. On purpose. They're filming it. And so now they're under a lawsuit. And the lawsuit goes deeper than just trying to silence them from taking videos. It is an actual attack on all of our First Amendment rights. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to be Lisa Jo. She's going to join us on Monday the 15th. So that's the upcoming schedule right now. It's thin. If you have a show, you have a guest, you want to bring them on, contact me via private message and we'll talk. We got an open count. And until we meet again this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. We'll see you again. This is my good friend Dave Bray and the Star Spangled Banner. coming to the show and you want to see this episode, head on over to my Facebook page, either my own page or the Patriot Nation Radio Network page, or, of course, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. And you can hear this great episode. We had Wendy Odom on us with us tonight talking about the other side of the illegal immigration crime wave that's occurring in this country. Not just the murder, the assaults, the rapes, and the trafficking, but the overdosing children. Check this episode out. I hope you liked it. God bless you. God bless America. Thanks for tuning in. Until we meet again, good night.